What an appropriate song for the scripture I'm about to read from Luke's Gospel, the first chapter, verses 26 through 38. Listen for the word of God. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
From time to time, for our affirmation of faith, we use the Apostles' Creed. So it is particularly meaningful today that we use the Apostles' Creed, because very early on in our statement of what we believe, we say, "We believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary." You know, there are times when I think we should just stop right there when we're reciting the Apostles' Creed. Because that phrase, "conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary," is a divine mystery. It's not meant to be a stumbling block. So often we have the discussion, do you really believe in the virgin birth? Do you believe it's really possible that this could have happened? And those kinds of discussions are fruitful in so far as we're able to raise our questions seeking greater understanding. But what we're dealing with is not so much a problem that needs to be explained as it is a mystery that needs to be appreciated. You know, the story goes simply like this. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. And now you will conceive in your womb and will bear a son. And you will name him Jesus." Mary is confused, because what does she say? Well, Mary was much perplexed by these words and wondered what sort of greeting might this be, for she said to Gabriel, "How can this be? For I am a virgin." And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. He will reign over the house of Judah, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Conceived by the Holy Spirit, is Gabriel's answer to Mary of how can this be? It's a divine mystery. And I'd like for us just to pause for a little while as we, first of all, think about birth. Birth itself is one of the mysteries of life. Now, the ancient Jews had a saying that in every birth, there were three agents involved. There was the father, there was the mother, but there was also the spirit. For apart from the spirit, there is no life. And therefore, in ancient times, for a little baby boy to be born, he was known as a son of God. Or if it was a little girl, this is a daughter of God. But in this birth of Jesus, what the angel is saying is that this is not just a son of God. This is the Son of God. That this is a unique birth of one who comes among us fully divine, begotten of the Father, born of the Virgin Mary. This is a mystery about a most unique birth of Jesus. And I was reading just the other day about something that helped me. And it said that this response by Gabriel is not so much a biological explanation of the birth of Jesus as it is a theological explanation of what this birth means. And it points to a special destiny of this child. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. He will reign over the house of Judah. He will be given the throne of his ancestor David, and of his kingdom there will be no end. It points to this life that is to be lived out amongst us. And as we go down the Apostles' Creed, we see it only begins with conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. It continues, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, and on the third day rose again, and ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and shall come again to judge the quick and the dead. This is just the beginning. But we need to understand that from the very beginning, this is a unique birth. This is a divine mystery, not just a Son of God, but the Son of God. And the response by Gabriel is not so much a biological explanation as a theological explanation. So pay attention. Pay attention. It's a mystery. We are not to try to get God to conform to our ideas about scientific truth and what is possible and what is not possible. We are not to try to get God to conform to our mindset. Rather, we are to acknowledge that there is a mystery that beckons from us a response of awe and wonder. And in the midst of this divine mystery, we are invited to come to understand through believing. And that it is only in through believing and through living and through following this one, we come to understand, though we never fully fathom the depths of this divine mystery. The divine mystery can be summed up in this phrase: God in Jesus with us. God taking on flesh. God in Jesus, that's the incarnation. Emmanuel, God with us. God in Jesus with us. That is the Christmas message. That is the good news. God is in Jesus with us now. That is the gospel. God has come to us in the flesh and lived amongst us in Jesus. God in Jesus with us. It's a divine mystery. Not so much to be explained as it is to be held in deep and abiding humble reverence. You see, we bow before mysteries. And so in the Catholic Church, when they are reciting the Apostles' Creed, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, everyone does that as a mark of reverence. Who was conceived by the Holy Spirit. We can only respond to this news with awe and wonder, and to respond to the invitation to come to know and understand through believing and trusting and living. That's the key. That's the key. And so, here we have it as we begin this Advent season. The good news of expecting God to come to us in Jesus, to be with us. And that makes all the difference in the world. You know, I've always thought it was good to have questions. It's good to have doubts, because faith is, well, it always seeks greater understanding. It's okay to ask questions. It's okay to probe deep things. And sometimes persons may say, I don't know whether I truly believe this, that I can say this. And I say, we're not worried at all about that. This is what the church believes. And you just join us as we recite it from week to week. And you just sort of live into it. It's okay. We don't punish people for not taking a litmus test. We don't give a litmus test on do you believe or not believe. We don't do that. We give an invitation to respond to mysteries with belief and trust and following Jesus. And what has happened to me is that I believe I'm always going to seek greater understanding. God forbid that I ever come to the day that I don't want to understand better and understand more. But God forbid I ever come to the day that I cease seeking to understand through, first of all, believing and trusting and following. And it makes all the difference in the world that I can say these words, because it tells me I can believe the greatest story that has ever been told. I am not guilty of believing too much. I am guilty of believing too little about who God is and what things are possible with God. All things are possible with God. And so when I come now to the Apostles' Creed, I'm invited to believe a little bit more, to trust a little bit more, to live a little bit more deeply in following Jesus. And you see, when the day comes, when you're wondering, is there someone you can trust? God in Jesus with us says yes. You see, in days when it just seems like you cannot be delivered from that in your past that weighs you down, you need to remember what we believe, God in Jesus with us, who is our deliverer. There are times when you know not the way to go, but yet we are invited to believe in the God in Jesus who is with us and is the way, the truth, and the life. And so we come now to the beginning of this Advent season of saying, We are looking for the one who comes amongst us in the flesh to be with us in our loneliness, in our times of struggle, in our times of temptation, in our times of longing and seeking. And this one is our Savior. The good news is simply this. You don't have to explain it. You just have to partake of the mystery. And that's why we come to the table today. We come to partake of the mystery of the body and blood of Christ, the one who suffered and died, yet rose again, and now gives himself to us through the bread and through the juice. I invite you today to partake of mystery that will strengthen you in the place that you need strength today. Let us turn now to the invitation. Christ invites us to his table, all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and good and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets who looked to that day when justice shall roll down like mighty waters and righteousness like ever-flowing streams. When nation shall not lift up sword against nation, and neither shall they learn war anymore. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent in the fullness of time to be a light to the nations. You scatter the proud in the imagination of their hearts, and have mercy on those who fear you from generation to generation. You put down the mighty from their thrones and exalt those of low degree. You fill the hungry with good things, and the rich you send away. Your own Son came amongst us as a servant, Emmanuel, your presence with us. He humbled himself in obedience to your will, freely accepting death on the cross. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and juice. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by His blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one in ministry to one another, one in ministry to the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at His heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Father Almighty, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. I invite those who will be helping to serve, and for those who will be behind the scenes serving, to help us as we continue the service, please come forward.